the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Monday morning podcast, which, of course, was taped Sunday night. I'll get to Rick Bucher, my guest. Great interview, by the way. So, a couple of thoughts before we go into the podcast. First of all, I'm in the process of moving, and so I'm staying at a hotel for a couple of weeks, which is odd. I feel like a little bit of a salesman on the road, earning his keep. But it was amazing, glorious. The weather was unbelievable all day Sunday in California. Everybody was out drinking, joyful, eating. You can just feel this collective optimism with COVID. The numbers are going down. The vaccine is working. It was just so nice. It was the first time in a long time. I'll just say that. It was so nice to go out and see people socializing. And wherever you live, obviously, you know, the warmer the state can often help with the virus, a Florida, a Texas, an Arizona, and Southern California. But I haven't seen that in a long time. It's not great weather all over the country. We all know that. Our thoughts go to people in Texas and other places dealing with this stuff. But in my part of the world, we've been dealing with this pandemic like the rest of you for a year. And I really felt today on Sunday night, it was just wonderful to see people out and about and socializing and spending their money and happy and eating and drinking, big groups of people everywhere. A couple of football notes. So Matt Stafford is off the market. He's with the Rams. Carson Wentz is off the market. He is with the Colts. I was talking to a very close source to our show on the Herd. And, you know, I asked about Sam Darnold. I said, you know, Washington and Chicago are playoff teams, winning head coaches, momentum, and I think championship level defenses. They both need an upgraded quarterback. And all I was told was Sam Darnold was highly thought of by both the Bears and the Washington football team. He was highly thought of. So if you look at the people that are on the market now, if you can't secure a deal with Deshaun Watson, who we think but we're not sure will be traded, Darnold's a better pure thrower of the football than Marcus Mariota. Darnold is healthier than Jimmy Garoppolo. Darnold is more dynamic than, say, a Teddy Bridgewater on the market potentially or an Alex Smith. So expect some Sam Darnold news, it feels like, to me, between these teams vying for a new quarterback in the next few weeks. New England, maybe they're interested. The more and more I read about New England, the more you believe Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback coming out, is somebody that's in their thoughts. So who knows? All right, let's bring in our guest. Been a buddy of mine for a long time, covering the NBA for about 20 years. There's a lot of different angles now. This is about the time of the year that I really get into the NBA. I watched two games today. I've watched three games over the last 4 days, and I bring in my friend, Rick Bucher. So I'm watching Celtics and Pelicans today, and I'll start with the Pelicans. Zion's numbers right now they're cartoonish. He's shooting like 66% from the field. It's like Wilt. It's insane. Now, they won today. They're not translating to wins. That's my first issue. Not really issue question. Secondly, I'm amazed at the pushback on Zion, and it may only be social media, but I think he creates conflict at the rim. Very few players do. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great watch. Mm-hmm. I think the league needs about eight of him. Yep. It's like an 80s game.
Yep.
One of the reasons I thought he would be a good player, I said, he's going to be Karl Malone. He's going to get about eight free throws a night because he's just going to initiate so much contact.
Yeah.
Now, they haven't translated to wins. Is that a mark on Zion or a reality of their roster?
I think it's a reality of the game right now in that it has become such a three-point heavy game. Your ability to defend the three and to shoot the three is the difference with so many teams. If you look at the Utah Jazz, they're shooting lights out when it comes to three-pointers, more so than they ever have before. I don't really like them as a playoff team, but they defend the three well and they shoot the three well. And that combination is giving them something that nobody else has. And since people aren't playing a whole lot of defense, this is an offensive-oriented game. You look across the board, all of the offensive players, and I put Zion in this category because defensively, he's really not going to give you a whole lot. And it's why I believe in part his great numbers are not translating into wins, is because he can score and he can score easily and he's dynamic, but he's scoring twos and chances are he's giving up threes at the other end. And so that's the dynamic, the formula that isn't working for the Pelicans in spite of what Zion is doing. And I think the kid he's smart. He wants to have an impact. He wants to improve his game. I like everything about him. And I think he is a dynamic player. But this is just a weird year where, like, LeBron James's mid-range game is as good as I've ever seen it. Like, his step back is killer. But they lost the other night because they're trading twos for threes. And right now, the three-point shot is dominating the game.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, and I've said this for years, I watch a lot of NBA. I've watched three games in two nights, and I think my takeaway is I preferred the game when it was a little more layered. I miss conflict at the rim. Yes. I miss dunking. I miss power players. And I do wonder if, I don't know who I talked to about this, if Adam Silver, maybe it was Nick Wright, Adam Silver has discussed the idea of trying to somehow make threes slightly more difficult. Yeah. Don't toy the game up. Don't give me fours and fives, but make them slightly more difficult. Because I think there's a thirst for games like Zion. He reminds me a lot of a young Charles Barkley. Right. Barkley, you couldn't take your eyes off of.
Right. Well, and I had Nick Nurse on my podcast, and we talked about this very thing because I was of the mind I was going revolutionary. I was saying, let's get rid of the three-point line because then we'll get back to an even game where now you're trying to get to the highest percentage shot that you can get rather than playing the percentages that three is worth two. And so even if you shoot a lesser percentage of threes, it's still worth more than what you can shoot from two. And he was like, you don't have to go that extreme. All you have to do is allow more physicality into the game. Because right now, you're not like you can't bump, you can't brush a guy, you can't do anything on the perimeter. So I either have to give you a clean look at a three, or you're going to go to the free throw line for three shots. If you just allowed a little more contact, you would get a more balanced game, and you would get teams running more sets and a little more creativity when it comes to offense. Because right now it's, I'm going to drive, and if I can get there, I'm going to try to finish at the rim. If I can't, I'm going to lob to my big if the big comes over to help, or I'm going to kick it for a three-pointer. That's it. That's essentially what everybody plays right now. San Antonio might be a slight exception, but for the most part, that's the way everybody plays. And I just think it's, you know, you've watched it long enough. You know, Colin, it used to be like every team had its flavor. It had its style, and it was like boxing matches. Like, styles make fights. Like, could Memphis Grizzlies and their grit and grind, how is that going to do against the Steve Nash Phoenix Suns? Like, and you got to see that dynamic. And now it's everybody's playing the same way. And I think Nick is right. Like, if you just allowed more physicality in the game, if it wasn't all touch fouls, I think it would change the dynamic, and three-pointers wouldn't be quite as valued as they are.
Let's talk Boston, which blew a big lead today and is not playing particularly well. Now, some of that is they've had injuries. Marcus Smart is out. He's obviously a very important piece to them. But, you know, as I watched them, I said this earlier this week, I probably watched them play 6-7 times. And there's something wrong with Kemba. He doesn't play great back-to-backs. That's obvious. Right. And my second takeaway is, listen, we all know Danny Ainge is smart, But I wonder if the window is closed. Didn't get a ton for Gordon Hayward. Horford's gone. Sometimes I feel like they're too small. I like Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown feels like a B-plus to me. Kemba's not right. And I look at him and I think, this is just not a championship team. Yeah. It's just a good basketball team. They don't have enough good players. What do you see?
Well, it starts with Kemba, as you mentioned. And a lot of GMs are ticked off at Danny because Danny tried like hell to move Kemba at the beginning of the year, knowing that his knee wasn't right. He was trying to get rid of damaged goods. And that's the issue that Kemba is dealing with. And at his size, it's a little bit like Isaiah Thomas. This is the second little point guard in a row he's run into that has a physical issue, and it changes everything. In the regular season, you can kind of get away with it and disguise it. But when you play the best teams, they're going to exploit that he's undersized and can't move the same way that he once could. And so it really starts there. And then, look, I like Theis, but I just don't think that they have enough size. He's not a screen setter. He doesn't shoot the three quite well enough. He plays well for what he has. He makes the most out of what he has. But they're just, it's kind of what you said. Like, I don't know that there's any one specific thing other than they're just not, they're good. They're not great. There's
That's
nothing
right.
that
they're
great
good.
At. There's nothing that you go, man, you can't, this, they're going to dominate this aspect of the game. And so they are where they are. Like, they'll be competitive. They'll be a playoff team, but they're not a championship contending team.
So this Giannis thing, I'm tickled by, because I never thought he was the face of the league. I just thought he was really talented. Some guys want to be the face of the league. Some guys can be. He doesn't control games. He's a liability late. It's interesting. Drew Holiday missed a series of games. They lost all of them. And I said the other day, he's not the most valuable guy in his own team. He's just the most talented. And, you know, Antoine Walker came on my show the other day and he said, listen, what he's good at, he's great at. But he doesn't work on what he's not great at. And LeBron James is a tinker. He's always tinkering. Yeah. Kevin Durant always feels like a tinker to me. Giannis, outside of 3.5 feet, is not a very skilled or finessed offensive player. Right. He doesn't have a lot of touch. He's not shooting free throws now particularly well. Right. I think late in games, he's become your classic big liability. You know, I just look at him and I think he's just got big flaws. You can marginalize him. There's a book out on him. Here's how you defend him.
Yeah.
There's no book on the great ones. Yep. They get their points. I feel like there's a book on Giannis now.
Well, he can't manufacture easy buckets. Now, he gets easy buckets like in transition. If somebody sets him up or he can use his athleticism, he gets easy buckets that way. What I mean in manufacturing buckets is when you just get the ball and a little footwork and little step back, boom, you get it. It's not yeah. exciting. It's just efficient and effective. And from what I know, the coaches that I've talked to, he does work on his weaknesses. He is working on his mid-range game. He is working on his jump shot. It just hasn't come together for him and his ability to do it in games. I feel like he would be, if he had grown up in the States and he'd played more pickup ball, more street ball, more AAU ball, he'd be a different player. But coming up the way that he did, his game, he didn't get that the junk in his game that you need, where you create something out of nothing. And you can tell it in his confidence. I think that's the biggest thing is, like, Kobe would miss, and I'm making extreme, but then again, we have Giannis has been a league MVP, so maybe it's not crazy to reference Kobe. But Kobe could miss 15, 16 shots. Steph Curry can miss 15, 16 shots. And their demeanor isn't, I got to find something out. It's just not my day, or it's going in eventually. I'm going to win the game eventually. Giannis doesn't have that aura whatsoever. He misses a couple shots and it's not even him. Like, Milwaukee immediately diverts. Okay, well, we'll go with Chris Middleton. We'll go with Drew Holiday. We'll go with Eric Bledsoe when he was there. Like, we'll go with somebody else.
Right.
And if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo and you're the MVP and you know you're the best player on the team and you give your team the best chance to win, you'd be like, hell no. Now, that the ball comes to me or we have a problem.
Right.
He's okay with it goes to somebody else. And I believe it's because he's aware I don't have that game, at least not yet.
The next time you're watching basketball, I've got the perfect way for you to get in on the action for free. I'm talking about NBA InPlay. Absolutely free to play on the FanDuel app and features all the fun of live betting. NBA InPlay turns every quarter of every game into a free contest where you can win real cash prizes. So while you're watching the game, all you have to do is predict the outcomes of plays and game props before they happen to claim your share of the prize pool. Best of all, a new contest starts every quarter of every game, giving you even more ways to win. FanDuel is the exclusive home for NBA InPlay, so the action is always available right at your fingertips on the FanDuel app. The app is easy to use. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. I did it. It's a breeze. And it doesn't matter where you live or where you're traveling to, because NBA InPlay is available in every state. Don't miss your shot. Get in the game and download the FanDuel app to start playing NBA InPlay today. You know, I was watching the Miami Heat Lakers game, and Miami ended up almost giving it away. Yeah. But they were, you know, and we talked about this. I've talked about this on my show, I think. Was Miami kind of an aberration? They got hot. Spoelstra was a great coach. Veteran team struggled in the bubble. But in the end, they can struggle to defend. If Butler, you know, Jimmy Butler's a great player. Mm-hmm. Then it's a series of young guys. Bam's a good player. You're not going to get 28 a night from him.
Right.
And I watch him this year, and I'm like, they were a little bit of an aberration last year. It happens in all sports. Lightning in a bottle. Yep. Older team. They play like a college team, a well-coached college team. I watch them this year. When I watch them, I'm just like, oh, they're okay.
Yeah.
They don't have a consistent second great score.
I don't know how close they were or how real the discussion. I know there was discussion between Miami and Houston for James Harden. And Houston supposedly wanted Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson. And then the pieces in order, Kelly Olynyk, the pieces that would allow it financially to work.
Yeah, but Houston didn't want – Miami said no on Herro.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that was a mistake. I think they would be in a completely different place if they had James Harden. I felt that they were missing that even when Jimmy Butler was good as he was, because he can get his, but he's not – like, he can get his. He's not going to get it for everybody else, right?
Right,
that's,
right.
To me, that's the superstar. The stars, they can get their points. The superstars get their points, and they get points for other guys as well. Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson, keep in mind the circumstances of the bubble. Like, they were young. Nobody kind of had a book on them.
Right.
They also had Jay Crowder, who I can't, like, now I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, he did not get nearly enough credit for how Miami was, because he knocked down right. threes consistently, and he was a great defensive presence. You take Jay Crowder out. Jimmy Butler has been injured a lot, has been out for a variety of reasons a lot. And now teams are just going at Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson over
yes.
and over again. And these guys are not – and they're looking at them and saying, if we run you off the three-point line – how good are you inside? Not as good as they were. And so there's a book on those two guys, and it's changed the dynamic completely when it comes to the Miami.
Yeah.
I think you're 100% right. That was lightning in a bottle.
So segueing to the Lakers, you know, it's interesting. The world I grew up in the NBA is if you are talented, you're a one. You're a franchise guy. And I've said this, and I really believe this. There's very few ones. Ones being Steph, Chris Paul, LeBron. They have the emotional discipline.
Maybe five or six in the league total.
In the league. Yep. And I've said this. I can't depend on Anthony Davis. He's the best two in the history of the league. He doesn't have the emotional It's not passion. I can't trust him physically. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he wants to be a one. I think he loves being the two to LeBron.
100%.
You know, this year, forget the injuries. I get Laker games every night. Yeah. He didn't play well offensively. Nope. He was not the same player. Nope. And it was almost as if he was saying, hey, listen, I'm not the one here.
Yeah.
I'm really, we just want a title, me being the best two in the world. And that's what he is.
Yeah. First of all, he is, to me, this is where like people look at his talent and maybe his numbers and the fact that he is a very good defensive player and they call him a superstar. I consider him a star for what we just talked about. He gets his numbers. He's not a playmaker who gets other guys' numbers. If they play through him, it's essentially, can Anthony Davis get something, or I'm going to kick it back out to LeBron James and now he's going to create something or get something. But it's not like I give it to Anthony Davis and it's either he scores or he gets an easy bucket for somebody. That's not how it works. And I did a piece a while back where I went back to Chicago and I talked to his AAU coach back there. His family is very, his dad very upset because I talked to his high school coach. I talked to his AAU coach. He came up in a charter school that was, I think it was senior year. They were like 4-17 and he went to Kentucky. And if you are an NBA caliber player who then is going to go to Kentucky for 1 year and play in the NBA, and your high school team is only 4-17, there is something wrong. Like there is I'm happy just being out there and getting my points, but not necessarily winning games. I'm not going to put this team on my back.
Listen, most people don't want to lead.
Yeah.
Listen, it's almost as if he won a title. And he came into this season saying, okay, I'll win.
Right.
But I'm not taking the franchise over. And it's almost like he stepped back a little to say, no, this is who I am. I'm the world. It was funny when I watched him earlier this year. I'm like, I thought, you know, there's something missing.
Yeah. It's actually surprising to me because I thought that, and we see it with certain guys, like they win a championship and they see themselves differently. Like they go through that and they get to the mountaintop and they're like, oh, I can be this kind of player. Like maybe there was a question in their mind. There was an uncertainty. But once they've done it, I kind of feel like LeBron in a way got there. Like when he was first, you know, when he was first in Miami and he faces Dallas, like that was Dwayne Wade's team and he cratered in the finals. And it was like he didn't. What do I do? What do I go to? It was a crisis in confidence for him. LeBron has slowly built himself up where I think if you put him in a league with Jordan or Kobe, you'd still see the mental difference between the two and the killer instinct and the difference in killer instinct. But LeBron can look around now in the league and go, there's nobody here I can't beat. Like there's nobody.
That's right.
There's nobody tougher than I am. I can impose my will, but I think it's sort of by attrition. Like it's the fact that nobody of that ilk is actually in the league. Now, it'll be interesting if we see Nets Lakers because I feel like that threesome in Brooklyn. This is the element, and I hate giving this to you on your podcast because I was going to make an entire podcast of my own on this, on this very subject. But I look at those three guys, and the unifying element for them is we want to knock off LeBron James. Kyrie wants to knock off LeBron James. KD wants to knock off LeBron James again. And James Harden certainly wants to knock off LeBron James, having been in the West all that time and having to watch LeBron do what he does. So I think that's the element that I am in some ways, like if we got a Lakers-Nets final, I think the Nets are a better small ball team. I think the Lakers can't play big ball like they did last year. That's how they won, playing big. And I think they're a small ball team now and not as – I think they're good – probably good enough to get to the finals. But if it comes down to Brooklyn, and I'm not convinced Brooklyn can get there either. Like, I don't know if their small ball can get past Philadelphia or out of the Eastern Conference. But if they do, if it's a Nets-Lakers series, as of right now, I like the Nets' chances because they're not just good at that style, but they're coming with more motivation than anybody else has. Those guys, those three guys are so – they will find a way to play together to beat that one guy.
Where are we with KD now? He's hurt again.
Yeah.
I mean, we know he's a little bit emotionally fragile. It's okay, sensitive, whatever. You know, that's who he is. It's fine.
Right.
I don't think he's weird. I think Kyrie can be weird. I don't think KD's weird. I think he's just – he's sensitive. He's Aaron Rodgers. He's a little sensitive.
Yeah.
Where are we with him? You can't marginalize him like Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you generally – he's more unstoppable than Kawhi. I think he's more of an offensive force than Anthony Davis.
Sure.
He does give you effort on the defensive end, unlike James Harden.
Yep.
Is he? Do you look at him – I mean, Embiid – I don't know. Is Embiid has some limitations. I mean, Kevin can just take over games with the ball.
Yeah.
Do you look at Durant today as the second best player in the NBA? I kind of do when he's healthy.
I do. I do by default.
That's how I look at it.
He's evolved. I don't even evolve. Maybe devolved. Like, you think about KD in Oklahoma City, and He was beloved. Like, he was such a warm figure. People love the Durantula. And now I feel like people are just kind of mystified. Like, what's he really about? What's he's got this this unhappy vibe about him no matter what happens. I mean, this year, like, he comes back, and I know that he was genuinely. Like, he told people, one of the reasons he didn't go to the Knicks was because he wasn't sure that he was going to be KD when he came back. Like, can I still be that
right.
player? And so he wanted to make sure that he was going with another star, and he didn't want the pressure of being a Knick if he couldn't be that guy. And lo and behold, I think he is. I think he's all the way. I mean, look, he looks as good or better than he did then. There's no indication to me that there's lingering effect. And he's playing on a team with the two guys that he wanted to play with and instant, like, chance of winning a championship. And he's in Brooklyn. He's got everything he could possibly want. And yet I don't sense any joy from him in playing the game. And there was a time where I did. And I think that while that shouldn't necessarily affect how we judge a player's overall ability, I think it does. I think people, like, look at KD and they're like, yeah, he's really good. What's wrong with him? Like, not as a player,
yeah.
as a like, what's bothering him? And when you have that question, I think it distracts from looking at what he is as a player, which is arguably the second best player in the league.
It's almost like he's chasing something, but he's not sure what he's
yes,
chasing.
And there's like a sinking feeling that I'm not going to get there. Like, I'm Sisyphus, you know, I'm just going to keep pushing it up the hill and this is coming back or this. I mean, you made the comparison to Aaron Rodgers. I thought it was Aaron Rodgers, after he won his first Super Bowl, he said, is that all there is? And I feel like KD went to Golden State and he's a two-time MVP finals MVP and wins two rings. And it was like, okay, that didn't do it. That didn't satisfy me. Like, what? It's okay. So now I'm going to go to Brooklyn and I'll be the guy. And I would hope that I just would like to feel like he's enjoying what's going on with him. And I don't get that.
You know, we had talked earlier about who I really feel are number ones. I think Chris Paul is. I think LeBron is. I think Steph is. I think Damian Lillard is. I thought he should have been in the All-Star game over Luka. Maybe it's the geographic location. Maybe it's because people feel like he's a lesser version of Steph.
I don't think it's that. I mean, between those two, keep in mind, it's a popularity vote. So,
isn't Dame popular? I thought he was more popular. He's a big game shooter.
Doncic has all of Europe. Like, you get a concentrated country, and I think that I would say that, and being in Dallas and that market, and also the hype. Like, this really bothered me. I mean, I hate media on media crime, but I have to tell you, there are times where I look at my NBA media brethren and there's storylines that come up, and I'm thinking, who the hell is manufacturing this based on what? And that was Luka Doncic being the favorite to be the MVP this year coming into the season. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, they got knocked out in the first round in the bubble. And his efficiency, while his usage rate is through the roof, and he dribbled, like, James Harden took all this grief from my NBA media brethren about dominating the ball. Hello? Have you seen Doncic? Doncic has the ball all the time and is not much better defensively, does not shoot the three as well, turns the ball over, seems to be nicked up physically all the time. And so I had that. That's my issue with Doncic getting in ahead of Lillard, is that I feel like there was this narrative that began in the preseason that carried him there. And it's why I have an issue when you anoint a guy as a preseason favorite to be the MVP. He can only fall so far when you put him that high, right? And he never deserved to be that high.
Yeah, that's I've said this before. The MVP, the Heisman is too parochial and too regional. And the MVP in basketball is just who's the best story.
Yep.
That's what it's been for years. And I get it. There's 82 games. It gets overshadowed by the NFL.
You know what's funny?
It's a good, you look for the story.
Yeah, you know what's funny is, like, LeBron was just such a tired story. But now that he hasn't had it for a while, and they tried a couple other names out, and then LeBron, the door opens up, and it's like, hey, maybe LeBron winning another one would be a good story. And so, but it's that. It's not like, I mean, to me, LeBron James was the MVP of the league last year. Just clearly, people, for the same point you made, like, AD might have had the numbers, but to me, he got his numbers because of LeBron. And Giannis.
Hey, I talked to Maverick Carter, and he said 10 games into the bubble, the Lakers about lost it. And I asked him on a podcast, I said, they weren't very good in the first 10 games. And I said, something happened. And he said, and this, again, this is his value. He said, LeBron just sort of decided, okay, we're here. Yeah. We're going to win this thing. Yeah. But he said it was really LeBron just made a decision. This is brutal. I miss my kids. Yep. But we got business to do. And I always think we've never quite understood sort of the mentally and physically. LeBron's a rock. Every night, he is a rock. A lot of these guys, Kawhi's flaky, so is Harden, so is Kyrie. KD is a little sensitive. Giannis has limitations.
Lillard's a rock.
LeBron is
Lillard's a rock.
Who's that?
Lillard.
I think Damian Lillard is a total rock.
He just doesn't have the physicality that LeBron has. I mean, he's an average size or slightly under average point guard, you know? So he's going to have his limitations there, but I agree with
All right, Rick Bucher, here we go. We're going to do rapid fire, fill in the blank to finish our podcast today. What are you drinking, by the way?
Just having a little bit of coffee. I went on a 2.5 hour bike ride with my wife I live in Half Moon Bay. We went down to Pescadero and back. The hills were one thing, but then we had a headwind on top of it. I can do one or the other. You give me both, I'm a little bit gassed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know why you're doing this.
I didn't even go surf today. I was going to go surf afterward. I said, you know what? I've had enough. I got to deal with Colin after this. I can't do the triathlon. I can't bike, surf, Colin. I can't. It's got to be two. Biathlon.
All right. Here we go. Rapid fire round with Rick Bucher. The single best interview in the game today is?
Rapid fire. You got to give. Steph Curry.
The NBA city you can't wait to travel to once things get back to normal is... It ain't Sacramento, so let's cross them off.
I'm going to say New York.
LeBron is ranked blank on your all-time greatest players list.
Fourth.
Fourth?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
You know what? I'm going to go from Steph Curry. I'm going to go to his teammate, Draymond Green. Best interview.
Okay. I like him. One thing people don't know about Steph Curry is...
They might know this. He's a better human being than he is a basketball player.
Bradley Beal will be a blank by next season.
An unhappy wizard.
I feel like an absolutely wasted career. I've loved Bradley Beal for 5 years. What a wasted career.
He's imprisoned.
You know, it's funny. LeBron loves him. I've been told that by two people. LeBron loves him. Totally would love to play with him, but you can't get him out. What are you going to give him? The most fascinating player you've ever covered is...
Ooh. Wow. I could go a couple different directions. My first instinct is to say Kobe Bryant. But I also got to know Yao Ming really well. And just his coming from China, the circumstances, the society, the culture, like it was such a wild shift for him to go from Shanghai Division III basketball, no heat in the gym, no sense of what celebrity is, no recognition that way, to he's a teammate with Steve Franchise as a number one pick in the NBA rock and roll. And just like the fact that he handled it as well as he did, that to me was extraordinary to witness that. But Kobe, watching the evolution of Kobe from the time I saw him in summer league as a rookie to, you know, the last time I saw him, his transformation and his growth was I had a front row seat for it. So that was,
what was his summer league like?
It was at Long Beach State. It was in the Pyramid.
There
was no, like, there was no security. Like you could roam wherever you wanted to. Literally after they played, I walked straight into the locker room and Kobe's there putting his, he had a little backpack. He's putting his, it looked like a high school kid, which he essentially was. And you still wore jocks back then. He's putting his jock and his shoes in his little backpack. And I introduced myself and he was so like excited to talk. I don't know if I was at the San Jose Mercury News or Washington Post at that point. I wasn't at ESPN yet, but he was just like, he just gushed. He was so excited. And he was a gunner already then. Like you had vets out there. You had summer, like, he came out there and the instant he hit the floor, he thought he was the best player in the gym. Just radiated that from minute one. But it was just such an innocent time to see him like that. And then to see him go through Colorado and the fight with, you know, the battles with Shaq and evolve his game and, like, you know, everything, you know, to win championships with Shaq and then to eighth seed and out and then to bring Phil back and get Pau Gasol and like craft a team, you know, get his ass kicked by Boston and realize I can't do it by myself anymore. I have to have help. Just watching that journey that he made through his career was just, it was fascinating to watch. And I was fortunate enough that we got to know each other very early on. And he gave me access and insight to him that I don't know, like we could just have conversations about the game and what was going on. And I wrote maybe like 20% of what I learned from him. But seeing everything through his eyes was just an amazing experience.
Yeah, to be interesting, you have to be interested. Kobe was interested in a lot of stuff.
Yes.
He was really, you know, a little bit of a bon vivant by NBA standards because of his international background. He loved soccer. He loved food. He loved travel.
Spoke multiple languages. Like he came up, he didn't come up in AAU. Like he came up, his first playing was against little Italian kids, right? And he was always fascinated with, as you said, like we would have a conversation about something and that would spark his interest. And the next thing I knew, he was diving into whatever it was, whole hog. And that made him a very interesting character. And then he was just this driven edge to him too. A lot of people would refer to him as being Jelly Bean Bryant's revenge on the NBA. The Jelly Bean Bryant basically thought he was Kobe, but didn't have the game for it, but always thought he should have, like, people just didn't recognize he was that great. And so never got the recognition. So he created a son who did everything that he thought he could have done.
Great stuff, Bukes. Love having you on this. The Volume, our new little podcast network. You were great. You did a triathlon, scaled a mountain. You need to go rest.
Thank you.
Hang out with your beautiful family. This was great. Just a bunch of topics. Hope to have you on again, buddy, and thanks.
Look forward to it.
All right, thanks, everybody. You can follow us at The Volume Sports on Twitter, at The Volume Sports on Instagram. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. We're going to have some big news in about 10 days at The Volume. We're bringing somebody aboard who is fantastic, absolutely fantastic. You have a great day.
Volume.